Hello, everyone. Buenos dias, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and welcoming you to a very beautiful Sunday and the Lord's Day. And we're going to talk about multiple things today. Even going to talk about Groundhog Day a little bit, and about how that is also a reflection of a Christian holiday, a Catholic Christian holiday of the 40 days after Christmas and the Epiphany, that when Jesus is brought to the temple. And of course, for us as Catholics, it's also called Candlemas, where people will bring candles to the church to have those blessed for the coming year, to kindly keep that light constantly burning. That reminder of Christ, that Christ is the light. And I'm going to talk about a few other things today too, but let's go right to the scripture readings for this week. This is the fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we're going to read from Zephaniah chapter 2, and that's verse 3, and then 3, and then 12 through 13. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth, who have observed his law. Seek justice, seek humility. Perhaps you may be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. But I will leave you as a remnant in your midst, a people humble and lowly, who shall take refuge in the name of the Lord, the remnant of Israel. They shall do no wrong and speak no lies, nor shall they be found in their mouths a deceitful tongue. They shall pasture and couch their flocks with none to disturb them. The word of the Lord. And our responsorial psalm is Psalm 146. Blessed is the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. The Lord keeps his faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, the Lord sets captives free. Blessed the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And so our second reading is from 1 Corinthians 1:26. Through 31. 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 31. Consider your own calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. Rather, God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise. And God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly and the despised of the world, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something, so that no human being might boast before God. It is due to him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, as well as righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that, as it is written, whoever boasts should boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beautiful reading there from 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. And then we're going to read from the Gospel of Matthew 5, 1 through 12. That's Matthew 5, 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So a beautiful gospel reading today, and you might be able to tell this is a lot of this is about humility, right? About teachability. Talked about that a little bit last week. You know, am I teachable? Am I willing to change? Am I willing to look at another opinion, something different? So we're going to talk about that a little bit, but do a little bit of a let everyone know who we are and where we're from. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich, and this is the Epiphany Radio Program. You can contact the Catholic Church here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo if you're interested in anything about the Catholic Church, about joining the Catholic Church, or you can go to your local parish in your area, in your city here in Southwest Michigan. But the Diocese website is diokzoo.org, or you can go to holyfamilyradio.net. And if you'd like to listen to more Catholic radio here in the area, you can go to 91.5 in the Kalamazoo area. That covers a big chunk of southwestern Michigan. 89.7 FM in the Battle Creek area. And AM 1140 in the Grand Rapids area. And so we're really glad you're here. This is an outreach for here in the Catholic Church to invite people home, but also for those people who, you know, can't get to Mass or can't get to church, you know, call one of the parishes. If you're Catholic and you want to receive Holy Communion, you're homebound, please call one of the local parishes, and they will make every effort. They will make every effort to come out and see you, to bring you Holy Communion. If you need anointing of the sick or anything like that, you know, please call. Or if you know of a loved one, please call your Catholic Church in your area, and we'd be more than happy to help you. And if you've been away from the church for a while, you know, we invite you to come back. We miss you. We love to, you know, the churches are always packed on Christmas and Easter. But wow, what a difference it would make if we all just came to church a little bit more often, if we prayed a little bit more. And we're going to talk about that today. You know, what's my level of humility? What is my level of giving? What's my level of service? Do I lean more towards the selfish, or do I lean more towards service? You know, what do I do? So in our first reading from Zephaniah, they talk about these holy, the catechism really talking about these holy women that have always been throughout time. And of course, the March for Life was yesterday. The week before that, you had all these women who were marching in Washington and other parts of the country, really concerned about women's rights, right? But the sad part about it was is that the pro-life women who wanted to be involved in the first march were not allowed to. See? So they're kind of shunned away, right? So these, and this is what the scriptures are talking about today, that, and what the gospel is talking about today, is that we're persecuted because we love life. What is that? What has happened to us? You know, what are we thinking? You know? And, you know, as the gospel says, blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me, because of Jesus, because we love Jesus, and because we love life. So, you know, we pray for our brothers and sisters, you know, and you see the level of anger and all the the craziness that happened and all that. And then we see the peaceful nature of this March for Life, right? And we think about that too. We talked about that last week too. And we talked about the need for healing, for people who have experienced abortion in their families, themselves personally. There's great healing for that. There's great outreach for that with Project Rachel and Silent No More. These groups and organizations really want to help, to try to help people who have been victims, yes, victims of abortion, victims of our own culture that we have not taken care of, the ones who have needed us most, the women in our lives that in their time of need, we did not help them. We have failed them. And for a great number, it's us men. We have done it. We have failed. We have failed miserably in this area and not taking responsibility. All of us. Yes, all of us. Of every economic level, of every nationality, we have failed. We have failed miserably. You know, of course, the Supreme Court making that decision, those are all men. Sometimes I wonder, if what the decision would have been if all those Supreme Court justices were all women. I wonder what the vote would have been. I wonder what the result would have been. Maybe send it back to Congress and say, we need to take care of these people. We need to take care of these babies. We need to take care of humanity. And so God points and Zephaniah in this first reading points very strongly and powerfully towards these women who have been persecuted forever and still are today. I watched a very interesting program on TV, this NAPRO technology, N-A-P-R-O technology.com. And it's really a different way of helping women who have not been able to conceive, to have a child. That so many things in women's health today is all they do is hand out birth control, is these hormones with all these chemicals in them. We're going to get to that a little bit more. I know I'm getting sidetracked here. We're talking about the scriptures, but this all folds into each other, my brothers and sisters. This is what God is telling us. In some ways, God's screaming at us, saying, look what you're doing, ignoring the women, ignoring their cries for help, ignoring their cries that they want to have a child, ignoring their cries for love, ignoring them, And we have to do better. We have to do better. Let me read this from the church's teaching on this from Zephaniah, our first reading, that this small remnant, the people of the poor. So he's talking about the poor and the lowly. So this is from the Catechism, 64 from the Catechism. It's just beautiful. So we'll read this, and then we'll go on to our other readings. Through the prophets, God forms his people in the hope of salvation, in the expectation of a new and everlasting covenant, intended for all, to be written on their hearts. The prophets proclaim a radical redemption of the people of God, purification from all their infidelities, a salvation which will include all the nations, above all, the poor and the humble of the Lord will bear this hope. Such holy women as Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Miriam, Deborah, Hannah, Judith, and Esther keep alive the hope of Israel's salvation. The purest figure among them is Mary, the mother of Jesus. See? And so even in that today, we find that today, don't we? We find this disregard for the mother of Jesus. This, oh yeah, she's just another woman. No, she's not. She's the holiest woman ever. She played this unbelievable role in salvation, as did these other women, right? Persecuted in their time and still persecuted today, 2,000 years later. And we think we're so advanced because we have the internet or because we have 50 TV stations. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, I don't think we're any smarter. I think in a lot of ways we've fallen backwards. Maybe backwards is not the word. Maybe down is the word. We've fallen down. You know, we're heading further towards that direction rather than falling from side to side, right? So in our second reading from 1 Corinthians, we see here that God chooses the woman, makes this promise to Eve, right? That things will change, things will be changed again. But even in the story with Adam and Eve, you know, even in the story with Adam and Eve, when, you know, because a lot of people say, well, it was Eve's fault. Well, no, because God comes to Adam and says, Adam, what happened? And of course, Adam says back to God, says, the woman that you put here. See, he blames God first. He doesn't blame the woman right away. He blames God, the man. Now, I'm a man, so I'm in this group too. And I know what it is, and we're going to get to what the main root is for us men, what causes us to go in this direction of less humility and being more, in many ways, being more violent, see? Being more forceful, being more not thinking about God. So Adam says to God, the woman that you put here gave me the apple. See? So he blames God, then he blames the woman. He blames two people. He blames God. God's not a person. God is not a man nor a woman. You know, and there's a point to that too. See? But the woman has so much to offer to us men. And we know that. We know that in our hearts. But in a certain kind of way, you know, we have our own vision of love, of what we think love looks like. And many times it's distorted. It's distorted by our culture. It's distorted by, many things, you know, addictions. We can get addicted to sex. We can get addicted to the internet. We can get addicted to money, gambling, all of these things, alcohol, drugs, all these things, trying to satisfy that emptiness inside of us. When really the answer is love, the answer is God, relationship with God, this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ as our brother, right? And God is our Father. So in this 1 Corinthians, you know, it's very clearly here, and I'm going to read from the Catechism, another beautiful reading from the Catechism on this, that God chooses the woman to after this promise that is made through Eve, and then Blessed Mother Mary delivers Jesus to us. See, so this is quite fascinating. So let's hear this. So throughout the Old Covenant, the mission of many of the holy women prepared for that of Mary. At the very beginning, there was Eve. Despite her disobedience, she receives the promise of posterity that will be victorious over the evil one, as well as the promise that she will be the mother of all the living. By virtue of this promise, Sarah conceives a son in spite of her old age. Against all human expectation, God chooses those who were considered powerless and weak to show forth his faithfulness to his promise. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, Deborah, Ruth, Judith, and Esther, and many other women. Mary stands out among the poor and the humble of the Lord, who confidently hope for and receive salvation from him. After a long period of waiting, the times of fulfillment in her, the exalted daughter of Zion, and the new plan of salvation is established. Isn't that beautiful? Such a this is what God's plan is. So he takes the lowly. He takes these people who will be teachable, and that goes directly to the heart of the gospel. This one line that the church is really telling us to focus on is, blessed are the poor in spirit, right? And hear these words, because my friends, I have this problem too. I'm a man. I understand. I have this problem too. But listen to what this says. Blessed is the poor in spirit, that it is the humble and those whose spirit is not set upon riches. See? Distraction. Your mind is set upon the world, upon riches. And then, you know, in some ways, it's kind of a good thing too. We kind of trick ourselves in a certain way. We want to provide for our families, so we work hard. But that's not the answer. The answer is to make the spirit poor, to get that vision of what we're focused on, not on money and accomplishment or a bigger house or a fancier car, but on our families. See? Focusing on God, focusing on our families, focusing on our wives, you know, on our wife. These things are very, very important. And through this lowliness, through this being poor, being humble in spirit, God helps us. God comes into us. God fills us, takes away these obsessions, addictions, this false sense of control and power, see? But in many ways, this same spirit has infected women today too, see? Where the career is the most important thing. Accomplishment is the most important thing. Not the child, not the family, see? And it is a mistake. It is turning away from our true source of hope, which is Jesus Christ, which is God Almighty. Because that is the source and the summit. That is the key to our faith. That is the key to a happy life. You know, not becoming like men, but becoming like Jesus, becoming like God, becoming like the Blessed Mother, becoming like Judith, becoming like Mary Magdalene, becoming like these very holy women. See? This being receptive, teachable, humility, teachability. You know, Bishop Bradley gave us this book, Lead with Humility, which is, it's a very good book. It's a good book for business people to read, but I just want to read a little, it's good for anybody to read, quite frankly. Now, the Pope did not write this, but it's just a really great book to read if you're kind of this balancing out of the world and my own spirituality. But listen to what he says here. He says, the Pope Francis says, don't judge, right? Everybody made a big thing about, you know, not judging. And absolutely we should not judge. We do not judge other people's salvation, but to assess, right? We all need to assess situations in our family, situations in our work. But listen to what it says here. Pope Francis is telling us in this statement that there is substantial distinction between judging and assessing people. Only a power higher than a pope can judge a person. God, right? And judgment should never be made in consequence to a person's color, creed, illness, station in life, sexual orientation, or anything else he or she does not have control. However, when assessing to akin in making decisions for another time, for example, when the Pope had to make this very serious decision with this Pope of or Bishop of Bling in Germany, you know, that where he was not setting a good example, right? So finally this, if you lead or aspire to lead people in any organization, then you must make many assessments every day. Think of your job you have right now. Before deciding to join your organization, you had to assess the company's organization, the location, the pay package, the opportunity for advancement. However, it is unlikely for any assessment that you made or continue to make are more important than the assessments you make of people. That is Pope Francis' imperative: people first, then everything else follows. So just a beautiful thing there from Pope Francis. You know, there's many things I want to get to, but we only have like 4 minutes left. You know, finally, I want to just say this. You know, let us look at this gospel today and ask ourselves, you know, am I open to listening to what other people have to say? Can I dialogue with other people? Do I have that level of humility to be teachable? You know, I watched a very interesting program on PBS on this lady who, Rachel Carlson, who wrote this about, she wrote about the truth. You know, it was about pesticides and the use of pesticides in the 50s and 60s. And there were some really bad health issues that were happening because of that. And of course, you know, today she's kind of exalted as, you know, one of the first people to help with the ecology and things like that, and with health, you know. And she made those very pertinent points that, you know, businesses and industry and government should not just be able to run riot unchecked. See? We have to stand up with humility and make good judgments on things. The same thing with issues in for women's health. You know, we need to look at that and to be open and honest. We need to ask the drug companies and the government, you know, that these pills that they're constantly giving to women for contraceptive medicines, all these poisons, you know, literally these chemicals that are inside of these pills that they're taking every day for all different kinds of health reasons, and never really getting down to the real health reasons and the real causes. And that's why I brought up that other company. But just you know, the website of the person, this NAPRO Technology, NAPRO Technology.com. And I just invite you to go and look at that. But really be prayerful this week. You know, try to go to Mass this Thursday, to Candle Mass, to the Presentation of the Lord, and really be in prayer and really pray for our country. Pray for our country. Pray for the women who are in your lives, and pray for, you know, mothers, especially expectant mothers. And I hope to join you again next week. And may Almighty God bless all of you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all.